And I'm Marie Mortera. We want to thank you for making News 3 your number one choice for news.
Every weeknight at 11, you can count on us to have the big story of the day.
Plus, breaking news that matters to you.
Jim Snyder and Marie Mortera. News 3, live at 11.
A unique blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio that's right for Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Justice Department has unsealed charges against two Islamic State militants from Britain. El-Shafi El-Sheikh and Alexander Cote are accused of a gruesome campaign of beheadings, torture, and other acts of violence against four American hostages in Syria and other captives. FBI Director Christopher Wray says the coming terrorism trial is a milestone in a years-long effort by U.S. authorities and the families of the slain hostages.
The families of those victims have suffered the painful loss of their loved ones at the hands of brutal killers. And while their pain may never fully subside, today, with the announcement of this indictment, we're beginning to bring them the justice they deserve.
The defendants appeared in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, where a federal grand jury issued an 8-count indictment. President Trump has returned to the Oval Office for the first time since he was diagnosed with COVID-19.
A White House spokesman confirmed that the president was back in the Oval Office in the West Wing as he continues to recover from COVID-19. Officials say they have put additional safeguards in place to protect staff who may interact with the president. While in the office, he received a hurricane briefing and later tweeted that he had spoken with the governors of Texas and Louisiana about Hurricane Delta.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Hurricane Delta has been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane, but now that it's back out in the Gulf of Mexico, it's expected to strengthen again. National Hurricane Center senior specialist Daniel Brown says residents along the Gulf Coast need to make sure they have their hurricane plan in place.
The system is very likely to produce a life-threatening storm surge, a significant wind event, potential for flooding rainfall across portions of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, even up into Tennessee over the next few days.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 530 points, the NASDAQ rose 209. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
You know what stinks? Overpaying for things, and that includes your cell phone bill. That's why every day people are switching to PureTalk USA. You get the exact same coverage as the larger carriers, but at half the cost, with no contract and no excessive fees. Get unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data all for just $20 a month. The average person saves $400 a year. Go to PureTalkUSA.com, enter the promo code HALFOFF, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's PureTalkUSA.com, promo code HALFOFF. PureTalk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Listen to Newsflash Daily for your up-to-date local news, brought to you by Mr. Law. Call Mr. Law now at 702-233-3334. Your authority for personal injury, divorce, and probate cases. Peter Mortensen and Darius Raffi are responsible for the content of this ad.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
It's real news, no spin. And what better place than on the Heidi Harris Show? The O'Reilly Update can now be heard at 8:45 each weekday morning. What the mainstream media simply won't tell you, Bill and I will. It's the O'Reilly Update, weekday mornings at 8:45 on AM 670 KMZQ.
It's 3:04. This KMZQ Newsflash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. 7 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, many still struggling to pay their bills. Moratoriums on utility shutoffs are lifting, making those unpaid bills hard to pay. The Las Vegas Valley Water District lifted its shutoff moratorium September 1st. NV Energy says it will resume power shutoffs October 22nd. Southwest Gas says it will continue its moratorium for the time being, but the U.S. Census Bureau says Nevada trails only Louisiana and Mississippi, with the highest percentage of people struggling to pay their normal expenses. Nearly 2 in 5 Nevadans, according to the latest report. Nevada's utility companies say they are trying to work with customers rather than cut off their service. Henderson is now taking applications for a grant program which could help residents pay some bills due to that financial strain. The program will help with child care, utilities, and internet service. Applications will be accepted until November 30th. If you'd like to apply, you can go online to cityofhenderson.com/COVID-19. Boyd Gaming says more layoffs could be on the way. Letters to employees went out, anticipating some 168 employees will be laid off at the California Hotel.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
In an abandoned vehicle, Interstate 15 northbound at Sahara, the light right lane is blocked there. Also, behind that, you're only averaging about 35 miles per hour through the resort area there. Interstate 15 north at Desert Inn, and slow flows 515 west at Pecos.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Kevin Wall with you. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday, this hump day edition of Live and Local. It's a special one. We've got the debate watch party coming up this afternoon. 5 o'clock, the doors will open at Rhythm Kitchen. And I am told you do not need a ticket. Okay, so make sure you come on out, whether you have a ticket or not. We'll get your tickets there at the door for this second in a series of debates, the 15th and the 22nd, a week from tomorrow in Miami. That'll be the 15th, and that'll be the that will be the big debate where the president returns from the coronavirus. We have good news from the governor's office. The governor apparently has tested negative. He had one of his staffers in the northern part of the state test positive. And everybody else now has gone home, essentially, in the northern office. So the we'll talk about that. Because guess who's here? Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. We are 27 days away from an election. We don't know when we'll learn the results of that election. But we'll find out about that. Chuck, how you doing? How you been?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, Kevin. It's good to hear you every week, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you what, we're just churning towards the election. We don't know when we will find out the results of that election. It probably won't be on the 20 or on the 3rd of November, but it'll be sometime after that. Do you worry about the validity of our elections here in the state?
Well, I think you have to worry about it. Even if you believe that an all-mail election like this can be conducted safely and securely, you still have to have a healthy dose of skepticism on whether or not you can put that together as quickly as we've had to put it together. This was all done in the primary, and there were a lot of problems in the primary with ballots that weren't delivered to the right place, or they were delivered to people who didn't live there. And now they changed the law in August to do the same for a general election where there's a lot more people are going to be voting. So you have to have a certain level of skepticism and worry about whether or not we're going to be able to pull this off correctly. I'm hoping that it comes out okay. I'm hoping that we win so big, that the president wins so big in a landslide, that we don't have to sit around for days wondering whether or not the election could be decided and go either way because of mail-in ballots coming in late. But there's nothing that any of us can do at this point other than to keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best.
People ask me, what do you think is going to happen? And I honestly have to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen. We've had so much stuff thrown into the mix. COVID-19 positive, the hospitalization on the part of the president. Here in the state, we've got AB4 and the remnants of AB4. It's really, really scary. And I'm going to tell you, I've talked to some leading people nationally, a lot of folks locally. I've talked to Michael McDonald. He'll be on the show a little bit later on in the program. Nobody seems to be able to tell me. Nobody really knows. And as a result, I don't have a good feel for how this thing is playing. You talk to people all across the state. Give me your sense of whether what happened with the president over the weekend is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I'll tell you, right before we went on the air, Kevin, I saw that the president posted a new video online on social media, and I was watching that right before we came on. He spoke for almost 5 minutes from the White House outdoors, and he just looks absolutely terrific and sounds absolutely terrific. He obviously had his experience with COVID. He got the best care in the universe, obviously, if for no other reason, the fact that he is president of the United States. But it clearly is not going to sideline him. He's clearly going to be able to go forward with the debates and with the rest of this campaign. And as far as the actual health concerns, I didn't see it in the video. I didn't see it when he got out of the hospital. I think he's going to be fine, and he looks healthier after coming through COVID than Joe Biden does, in perfect physical health. So I don't know that that's going to impact this. Now, politically, how does the fact that he got COVID, how is that going to influence the election? I'm with you. I don't think anybody, we've never faced anything like this before. People that I talk to are going to vote for Donald Trump. I still sense overwhelming enthusiasm for Donald Trump that I do not see in the Biden camp. But then on the other hand, you get these voter suppression polls that keep coming out showing that Joe Biden's ahead by 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 points. And that is designed to depress turnout for Trump supporters. And I hope they don't get fooled by it. I hope everybody takes this seriously, turns out, votes for Donald Trump, and that they do so that he can win in a landslide.
Well, and again, if this were a president who was opposing a former vice president that was racing around the country doing 3 and 4 events a day like Donald Trump did in 2016, you might say, well, being off the road for 8 or 10 days, man, you just can't make that time back. The fact is that this is not a vice president, former vice president, that has been racing around the country. In fact, it may turn out that in the next 10 days, Trump will make up whatever time he lost while he was in the hospital. I don't know if that's going to matter or not. It doesn't matter today when you've got social media and all of that?
I think it does. The Biden strategy is a very high-risk strategy in keeping him in the basement and out of the public eye, calling what they call a lid, which means that there will be no more events with the vice president for the rest of the day, and they call these lids early in the morning. I think that's a very high-risk strategy. When people look at Joe Biden at his advanced age, with all of the examples we've seen in the past that give people the impression, whether it's true or not, but the impression is what counts in politics. Perception is reality, and it appears that he has lost a few steps. Some suggest that it may be the early onset of dementia, and I just think that keeping him cloistered like that reinforces the idea that this guy just isn't up for the job. And so I think tonight's debate is going to be much more important, the vice presidential debate, than it has been in the past, because everybody's going to be looking at Kamala Harris as being potentially the next president of the United States if Joe Biden somehow pulls this out and does get elected president. I don't think a lot of the American public is comfortable or secure in the belief that he's going to finish his term.
By the way, Rudy Giuliani was on Fox, no, he was on Bloomberg today, and actually came right out and said he has the onset of dementia right now, today. Right now, Joe Biden has dementia, and that's a pretty tough diagnosis.
Yeah, and it's the public is confused. I mean, they've seen the examples where dementia is indicated that might be a possibility. They've seen that, but they've also seen Joe Biden stand up for 90 minutes in the debate, the first debate with President Trump, and, you know, didn't have one of those what are being called Biden moments during that debate. He delivered his speech at the Democrat convention. He read it off the teleprompter almost flawlessly. And so I think the American people just don't know one way or the other. You know, is this guy seriously impaired or is he not? It's kind of hard for the American public to judge. And I don't know that that's a good thing for the Biden campaign. People like certainty, not uncertainty. And in this case, whether he has it, whether he doesn't have it, there's an open question out there. With Donald Trump, he is, I mean, you get what you see, and right now he's demonstrating strength. Some people, obviously, on the other side, consider some of his actions foolhardy by going around the country and having these big rallies. But look, nobody's putting a gun to these people's heads. They know that if they go to these big events, there's the potential of catching the COVID virus, and yet they're showing up anyway, Kevin. And that's what I mean. The enthusiasm gap between President Trump and his supporters and Joe Biden and his supporters, from what I've seen anecdotally, is huge.
Well, the big question is, are there enough of those people, the people that literally love the president, are there more people there than there are of the folks who, well, hate Trump? They can kind of hold their nose and vote for Joe Biden. Are there more of the Trump folks or the Biden folks? That's what we're going to find out on Election Day or shortly thereafter. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It's Hump Day. Chuck Muth with us, the president of Citizen Outreach, on AM 670 KMZQ.
Demand. Take AM 670 KMCQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
Hi, this is Stavros Anthony, your candidate for Clark County Commission District C. While the governor has ordered that the coming election will be by mail-in voting, it's important to know that you can drop off your ballot instead of mailing it. And yes, you can vote in person. It's your ballot, your vote, and every person has the right to vote their way. If you want to vote in person, do so during early voting or on Election Day. There will be plenty of safety protocols in place. You can also drop off your ballot at any voting center. If you do vote by mail, sign it, seal it, and mail it yourself. And please, if you see a pile of mail ballots sitting on the ground or in the trash, call the election department and let them know where it's at. The county is mailing legal ballots to every active registered voter. That's a lot of ballots floating around. I'm Stavros Anthony, reminding you that mail-in voting is an option, not a mandate. Do it yourself, your way. Paid for by Stavros Anthony for Clark County Commission.
Chances are, you may never have to appear before a judge or even be in a courtroom. But that doesn't mean your life isn't affected by those who wear the robes of justice. I'm Judge William Kephart. And having been both a justice court and a district court judge, I am tough on criminals, especially those who commit crimes against women and children. Since 2010, I have presided over 100 jury trials, and I have one of the lowest reversal rates in all district courts in the state of Nevada. I'm a strong believer in the rule of law, but I am fair. I manage my courtroom both tough and effectively, which means I will always ensure that the law is properly enforced. And for all of us, that means the Department 19 will be a courtroom presided over by a judge that is a crime fighter, but will also have compassion when needed. Tough, firm, and fair. That's who I am, as your District Court Department 19 judge. Thank you for your vote. I'm Judge William Kephart. Visit me at judgebillkephart.com.
Paid for by the Committee to Re-elect William Kephart.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KNZQ. Talk radio done right.
If you don't already have your tickets to tonight's debate watch party, at Rhythm Kitchen, I hope you'll get them. Just go to my website, KevinWallRadio.com, KevinWallRadio.com. If for some reason you can't get tickets there, you can just come to the door and we'll have tickets at the door. Rhythm Kitchen, by the way, is on Decatur, South Decatur, and the 215. You can't miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And people have said, well, this is going to be a different type of debate, but I think there's still going to be fireworks. I mean, at some point, he is going to Pence is going to call her a socialist, which she is. Joe Biden is like, no, I'm look at me, I'm no socialist. Well, Joe, you are a socialist. Joining us, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. I've had a lot of people ask me this: how should I vote? Should I do the vote by mail? Should I early vote? Should I vote on Election Day? I think I've come to the conclusion I'm going to early vote. I don't trust the mail-in ballots. I just don't. Chuck, have you figured out how you're going to vote?
I haven't, but I've been going back and forth with it as well, Kevin, just like you are. I almost always vote in person on Election Day, but I remember what happened in the primary election on Election Day. You know, the lines were so long because you didn't have the early voting. And I don't think we'll have that same problem this time because in the primary there were only three in-person election sites where you could go. This time there are far more. And then there's always the question, I can fill out my written ballot, but rather than mail it in, just drop it off. And that seems to be a more secure option than trusting that the post office is going to deliver it. So I honestly don't know. I do know this. Unlike most elections in the past, with the exception of two or three races, I pretty much know everybody I'm voting for already, so I can cast my ballot early. These are changes that I'm not going to make leading up to Election Day. I'm pretty secure in that. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think I may be in the same category as you, Kevin. I may just vote early, late in the process, close to Election Day, but maybe not on Election Day itself this time.
Well, the question is, this comes down to a who-do-you-trust thing. You know, when somebody comes by my door and says, hey, if you don't want to have to, worry about the mail or anything like that, just give it to me and I'll make sure it gets to the authorities. Yeah. I would not trust ballot harvesters, okay? I'm not really fond of the post office, so I don't trust them. But I do trust the folks on the election board, the nice little old men and old ladies that are there, doing election on election day. I do trust them, I guess. Would you trust? Who would you trust more?
Yeah, well, I think you and I are of the same mind on this, yeah. Kevin. I trust going to vote in person with the election personnel, monitoring and conducting the election on election day. I'm not uncomfortable using the machines as opposed to a printed ballot. I'm used to that. I've been used to that for many, many, many years, and so I'm with you. I certainly wouldn't ever give my ballot and trust that someone else is going to deliver it for me. And there is a problem with trusting the post office to do it. We're seeing examples every day of ballots being found that mail carriers, I think there was a new one today, maybe it was in New York or New Jersey, 99 ballots they found that he had discarded. So, no, I absolutely would not trust the post office with my ballot. I will find some other way of casting my ballot. Other than trusting it to the post office.
He is not on the ballot, but he's in the news. Steve Sisolak tests negative for the coronavirus. He had a member of his staff up north in Carson City test positive. And so everybody went home, and they're all working from home. And the governor is down here. He's been here since, I think, the middle of September. But now this thing is striking closer to home. We don't know how many other members of his staff in Carson City have been infected. You've written a lot about Steve Sisolak, King Sisolak, and I'm curious what you think now that this has touched his office.
Yeah, what I was really struck by, Kevin, after the president was diagnosed, when he tested positive, the media all of a sudden reported on every single Trump associate anywhere within his orbit who also ended up testing positive by name. We know, Governor Christie, Kellyanne Conway, they were all named by the media. But here in Nevada, when a member of the governor's staff tested positive, the media has kept that person's identity anonymous. And this is consistent with what happened, if you remember, in the first special session. An actual state legislator who was in Carson City tested positive, and they never publicly released that legislator's name. And I just find it really curious why that is a secret, why their identity shouldn't be known so that everybody knows who this person is and whether they've had contact with them. I just find that just very unusual that happened. Secondly, and I'm with you, I'm glad that the governor tested negative. I hope he continues to be COVID-free. I don't wish COVID on anybody. But what I think was really the big blockbuster over the past few days, Kevin, was that letter that the health districts from Clark County and Washoe County that was leaked to the media, stating unequivocally that the governor has not been involving them in decisions on how to reopen Nevada's economy, what to close, what to reopen, that they've been left out of the loop. And I've been hearing that for months from all kinds of people, including Democrat elected officials in the legislature, who say that the governor isn't even communicating with them and did not communicate with them before these special sessions very well. And I think that should be a big story that the media is, again, completely ignoring, the mainstream media. And I hope that these letters coming public from these health officials causes the media to start digging in a little bit deeper to find out, because this governor really is making these decisions on his own with input only from people who report directly to him, and they owe their positions to him, so they're not going to buck the governor. I think it's a shame, and I think that we really need to hear more from Clark County Commission Chairwoman Marilyn Kirkpatrick, state legislators, on exactly what is going on and whether the governor is truly involving them in these decisions, or if he's just simply acting. I mean, we're calling him King Sisolak almost kiddingly, but he really is operating like that.
I'm just wondering when members of the Republican Party will stand up and be counted and demand some answers from this governor, because he clearly, everything he has touched has turned to dung. He's been horrible, whether it's Dieter or the coronavirus or closing down the economy, on issue after issue after issue, this governor.